What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys, and welcome to another episode of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks. If you're new here, I am a mental health advocate. I'm a coach and I'm an athlete aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to listen to this fitness, nutrition, and mental health podcast. This show is so important to me and I love giving back any sort of information and helpful advice that I can for you guys. So I want to talk to you today firstly about one thing that really irritates me, one thing that really makes me mad within the fitness industry. It's the simple fact that there is so much wrong information out there, and that can kind of skew your way of thinking about fitness as a whole. It can maybe lead you in the wrong direction in your fitness journey and actually damage your progress rather than making it better. We talked about this a little bit on last week's episode. I encourage you guys to check it out. That episode was all about pros and cons within the fitness industry, and one thing that I said was a big con in the fitness industry today is the misspread information. Anyone can put any content out online, and of course we're humans, we want to think the best in people, or at least I know I do, so a lot of times it's easy to take the information that you see or hear and believe it is true when really it is not. I encourage you guys to make sure that you have a valuable and a credible resource when it comes to fitness and nutrition, mental health topics. You have to have a credible source of information in order to know that you're on the right path, in order to make sure that you're actually making progress in your fitness and health journey, whether it's to lose 20 pounds, whether it's to build muscle, whether it's to just learn more helpful information regarding nutrition to make you healthier as a whole. Last week's episode kind of got me thinking. There is a lot of BS in the fitness industry. Now, this could be with products, different trends, different concepts. There's just so many things that are not necessary in helping you achieve your fitness goals. I want to make sure in this episode that I do my job in educating you on what that BS is and what that untrue information is surrounding fitness and health. So this podcast, I'm going to be busting fitness myths and informing you on what trends, what ideas, products, and more are just a waste of your time in your fitness journey. Let's start off with the first concept that is honestly just a scam, and that is spot reduction. So spot reduction is basically the concept of choosing specific movements to burn fat in the areas you want to see improve and have less body fat. So what do I mean by this? Spot reduction. When it comes to exercising, we generally have a specific aesthetic goal that we want to accomplish. The most common areas that I see people wanting to get rid of body fat are the lower abdomen, the thighs, the glutes, and more like the tricep, the backside of the arm. I hate to break this to you, but say you want to tone your abs. You want a six pack. Well, you can be as direct and as specific as possible with your exercises, with your training. You can do all of the crunches in the world. You can do all the lying leg raises in the world until you throw up and make yourself sick. But you're still not going to have a six pack. The way you're going to develop that kind of muscularity in your abdominal region is if you were, number one, lean enough, you're at a lean enough body composition to see those abs and your nutrition is on point, those exercises alone are not going to get you there. So in short, it is not possible to target the area in which you want to lose weight directly. Your body is in control as to where you will lose body fat from first. And I will say, just a disclaimer, of course, if you have specific muscle groups that you want to tone down or bring up, of course, you need to be hitting them directly. But we're talking about the concept of spot reduction as a whole. Again, you cannot choose where on your body you want to lose body fat, because in that case, I would just tell myself, all right, I'm going to lose body fat only in my midsection, and I'm going to keep that body fat in my booty. I would be looking really good. I'd be looking slim, thick in my off season, but that's just not going to happen, right? You cannot choose where your body loses fat first. Factors that are simply outside of our control influence the body parts and order in which our bodies store and lose fat first. This could be a result of your genes, your age, and or your gender. Concept number two, the idea of confusing your muscles for better results. I'm going to start by giving you guys a brief story. So typically when I have conversations, honestly, I'm not that social of a person, but I am social when it comes to areas that I feel comfortable talking about and areas that I have experience in, which you guys know would be fitness and nutrition. So I love getting inside people's brains and asking people about what their goals are and how I can help and asking them what, you know, their progress has been like in their fitness journey. So the other day, I'm at a gym that I work at, and I'm talking to just another male who's training in the gym. You know, I'm in between clients and just having some conversations. So I'm just asking this guy a little bit about his fitness journey and what his goals are and what his current training protocol is. And he tells me that he's constantly switching it up because he has to keep his muscles guessing. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, this is my point of view on this. I don't think that's the smartest way to go about things, but to each their own, right? I never want to knock anyone down, but I do want to provide value and educate people in order to see better results. Because if you're in the gym and you're putting in hours after hours, you don't just want to have little to no progress. You want to see the maximal results you can in the most minimal amount of time, right? I want to tell you, this is not a good concept to go by. You do not always have to keep your muscles guessing. Here's the thing. We talk about the concept of progressive overload. Progressive overload is basically constantly increasing the demand placed on your body to progress in some type of way. When we talk about progressive overload, it could mean shorter rest periods. It could mean increasing your training intensity. It could mean just simply bettering your technique. It could mean the easiest way would be to improve your resistance, right? Over a period of time, you're adding more weight to the bar or whatever it may be. But exercise variation is not a form of progressive overload. You do not always have to do a million different exercises in order to see results. If you're actually switching your workouts up every single week and every time you train, you're never doing any of the same movement patterns, I actually know that's going to lead to worse results. Now, of course, it's fun to include some exercise variation. You want to always hit your muscles from different angles. I'm definitely a big advocate of that. And even to keep things enjoyable. I mean, for my clients, for my own training, I am including new exercises over the course, you know, of a couple weeks, but I'm always keeping the basics in, and I'm never necessarily trying to confuse the muscle. I'm just trying to place a greater demand on the body. So the best way to see muscle growth and progression is, number one, consistency. Number two, placing enough load on the body. Three would be just training intensity. And then four would be progressive overload. You know, there's a couple other things I could say that kind of go along that concept as well. But I just want you to understand the point of this conversation is you don't have to keep your muscles guessing. They're not super confused. They know what they like. You just have to train hard and progress in certain movements that you know are going to lead to better results. Third thing that to me is just fitness industry BS, and some of y'all are going to hate me on this one, but again, it's just my personal opinion. This is a product, and that product is waist trainers. I see so many girls in the gym wearing these, but the truth of the matter is they have more cons than pros, in my opinion, and don't make a huge difference in the appearance of your waist. So, of course, you know, the goal behind of wearing a waist trainer is to give that smaller waist look, to have a tighter midsection. But in order to have that small and tight waist, you cannot just throw in a waist trainer and expect that to happen. I believe that waist trainers are only effective if you are wearing them for at least 6 to 8 hours a day, practicing good eating habits on top of that, and actually training your abdominal muscles. And even then, I still see more cons than pros. When we talk about waist trainers, they can cause trouble breathing because they squeeze your sternum and your ribs if they're worn properly, because they have to be tight enough, right? And they can also cause digestive issues and actually damage your organs. In the past, when I first started my bodybuilding career, I thought that waist trainers were like the end all be all. I definitely wore mine. Honestly, I thought it looked kind of cute too. I was like, ooh, look at me. Like, I'm a baddie. I'm wearing a waist trainer. And then I thought, okay, I have to take this off. Like, every time I eat, and I eat 6 meals a day, this is making me literally have shortness of breath. I'm not seeing a change in my midsection, and I'm not going to wear this for 8 hours a day. It's just unrealistic for me with the amount that I'm eating, with the amount that I'm training, and with the lifestyle that I have. So I really think, again, that the cons outweigh the pros when it comes to a waist trainer. And I think if you want to have a lean and tight midsection, there's just other ways to do it other than smacking a waist trainer on and expecting to see progress. Fourth thing that is a fitness myth, in the industry of fitness today is extreme diets and yo-yo dieting. This is just straight up BS, nonsense. This is more on the nutrition side of things, yes, but it's still relative to fitness as a whole. So let me break down what yo-yo dieting is. Yo-yo dieting is a protocol in which someone restricts their calories to lose weight, usually taking extreme measures. They lose the weight, they stop the extreme protocol, and then they typically gain the weight back. So what this does is put you in a repetitive cycle of restriction. You're losing weight and then you're gaining it back because the diet is simply unattainable. This is not the way to go about things from a good physical standpoint for your overall health or just from a good mental health standpoint. When we talk about extreme diets and yo-yo dieting, the most common ones I see would be fasting, juice cleanses, the ketogenic diet, and detox diets. While some of these protocols will help you lose weight for sure, in my opinion, it's just not the best nutrition strategy, and I feel confident calling it BS. I do believe that in order to lose weight and actually keep the weight off, you have to be in a dieting protocol that does challenge you, yes, but a dieting protocol that is also attainable and realistic for you to maintain and also custom to you. You want to stick to healthy whole food sources with the right combination of protein, fats, and carbs for your body. You have to be smart enough to know that no single diet is right for everyone. I mean, I'll give my current diet for example. I could tell you my macros. Currently, I'm eating over 200 grams of carbohydrates. I'm eating around 150 grams of protein a day. And on top of that, I believe that I'm at like 60 grams of fat. That's pretty high, and I am in an off season, but I'm still maintaining a very conditioned look. And if most females my age were to eat that amount, even if they were sticking to whole foods, even if they were eating very clean and not eating out all the time, they would not look like me, because the truth of the matter is I have a very active lifestyle. I take care of my metabolism. I do cardio almost every single day. I strength train as intensely as possible as I can, 5 times a week, and I'm constantly moving and fidgeting around. So that's why my macros and my calories are where they are, and that's not going to work for every individual. My style as a nutrition coach is to make every plan that I create custom to that certain client, to that certain client's goals and needs, to that certain client's mindset. And speaking of nutrition coaching, if you guys do need some guidance in your fitness and nutrition health, I would love to help you. I would love to help you understand what yo-yo dieting is and refrain away from those type of things and really establish what is truth when it comes to nutrition and what is nonsense when it comes to nutrition. So again, if you're interested in my coaching services, I would absolutely love to help you. Before we end today's show, I want to make sure you know how to reach me if you are interested in one-on-one fitness and nutrition coaching. My coaching service is all about helping you achieve fortitude through good physical and mental health. This is not only about looking good, but also feeling good. My nutrition and training programs are completely custom to your goals and needs and designed to help you be a better partner, CEO, employee, athlete, or just person in general. To get started, please send me a DM at yoitskenslow, that's yoitskenslow, or shoot me an email at kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com, that's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com, to find your fortitude through fitness and nutrition today. Moving into point number 5, fasted cardio for better weight loss. I hate to break it to you, but it's BS. Fasted cardio is actually one that I used to believe in heavily. When you talk about bodybuilding, there's this huge stigma behind fasted cardio. You hear a lot of bodybuilders talk about, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. every single day and do an hour on the Stairmaster before I even start my day. And I do think this definitely has its benefits, but I will say overall, it's definitely not a must when it comes to fat loss. The whole idea behind fasted cardio is that you're simply fasting overnight. And then in the morning, you wake up and you don't eat anything. You hop on that treadmill first thing in the morning and your body is depleted of a simple sugar called glucose. That's our body's main energy source. The point is your body will instead use fat for fuel and lead to better, faster fat and weight loss results. Now, fasted cardio, again, can be beneficial. Say you're someone who just likes to start off your day early in the morning. You like to get some movement in. I would say fasted cardio is going to be your go-to. Say you're someone who has a super busy work schedule and you know that the only time you're going to do your cardio is in the morning, go ahead and do it fasted. But it is not a must depending on what your goals are. Fasted cardio is, to me, not going to burn more fat. Give a personal example of myself that's really changed my mindset behind this is I feel that the cardio is most beneficial when you're able to be most productive in your cardio. And for me, if I have a super early morning client, I have to be at the gym at 6:30 in the morning. That means I need to get up around 4 a.m. to do my fasted cardio. That is way too early for me to get up and expect to be productive. I would rather have an extra hour of sleep and do that cardio later in the evening when I know I'm going to have time. Because at that point, I'm going to have more energy, I'm going to be more awake, and I'm going to actually be able to burn more calories and push harder. So definitely, again, it depends on the person. You guys probably hate me saying it depends. Most fitness things do depend. That's why it's important that you do your research or hire a coach or really invest in, you know, expanding your knowledge around the industry. But with fasted cardio being said, I really do feel like it's more beneficial when you do it at a time that suits you best, not just doing it fasted because you think you're going to lose more weight that way. Topic number 6, this is a good one. This concept that is not true is soreness as an indication for a good workout. Have you ever finished an awesome training session and 2 days later you can barely sit on the toilet? So you think to yourself, damn, what did I do on that day? That must have been the best workout ever. That was an amazing workout. Let me tell you, while soreness is bound to happen and is a good thing for sure, just because you are not experiencing an extreme amount of soreness doesn't mean your workout protocol isn't good. You may be particularly sore that 2 days after because you do an exercise that you've never tried before, or you train in a different style, or maybe you just train too hard and your body is not able to recover, which would actually be a bad thing. Having muscle soreness after you train does not necessarily mean that your muscles are growing. You can't rely on muscle soreness as a form of measurement that you are making progress or had a good workout. I know that I know what I'm doing in the gym. I know that I train to the max of my ability every single time. But even me, it's kind of rare, especially in my upper body, to get sore. I definitely feel soreness in my legs all the time. I definitely feel soreness in my back. But for me, you know, I don't feel a lot of soreness in the arms and shoulders, even if I am training them hard. So again, soreness you can definitely use as some sort of an indication, but it shouldn't be the end all be all. Ooh, I had a good workout because I'm sore. That's just simply not the facts. Those are just 6 quick things that are misconceptions within the fitness industry. Make sure you establish what is BS and what is not. I definitely would like to do a part 2 of this episode on debunking fitness myths and just explaining to you what in the fitness industry is valuable and truthful. So I'll definitely do that in another episode, but I wanted to keep it a little bit shorter today and make sure we have some time to answer a listener question. But if there's something I missed on this episode or something that you want me to debunk within the fitness industry, maybe something you have a specific question on, I really encourage you to send me that trend or send me that product or send me that idea through Instagram direct message. The best way to reach me is through IG again. That's going to be @yoitskinslow or my business account, which is fitness4 and the word fortitude. Or you can always shoot me an email at kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. That's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. And I will get back to you within 24 to 48 hours with a response. To wrap up this episode today, there's a few key concepts I want you to nail in the backside of your brain. 1, you can't control where you lose body fat first. 2, you don't need to be constantly confusing your muscles in order to see results. Stick with training that works well, that's functional, and that's going to yield results. And practice progressive overload, of course. 3, be smart about your waist trainer. Throw it out. Know that it's kind of damaging for the organs. It's not helping you in the long scheme of things unless you're taking extreme measures with that waist trainer. There's a lot of other ways to tone your abdominals and to get that lean, tight look within the midsection. Remember that one diet is not right for everyone. Don't get in that endless cycle of restriction and yo-yo dieting and all these crazy juice cleanses and things that you read about online. Do cardio when it's most beneficial for you and your schedule. And then lastly, don't use soreness as a gauge of what a good workout is. Thank you guys again for listening to this podcast episode and giving me the opportunity, the chance to help you in your fitness journey for just a few minutes today. Don't believe all the fitness industry nonsense that you hear and that you see. Always get your info from a reliable source and find what works for you and your goals. Please remember, if this podcast did help you in any type of way, I encourage you to rate, follow, and review the show on any major podcast platform. These rates, reviews, and feedback in general really help me stay motivated to keep putting content out, and they allow me to help you to a greater extent. So be sure that you're supporting the show. And before we end today's show, of course, I want to take a question from a listener. Today's question is, what is a good pre-workout snack? I train early in the mornings, and if I eat a big meal right before my workout, I feel nauseous. But if I don't eat anything at all, I feel weak. Okay, facts. So first off, I suggest having a small meal of protein and carbohydrates about 45 minutes prior to your workout. And I understand that you don't want to go eat a full-blown meal. I'm not telling you to wake up at 6 a.m. and grill a steak and cook potatoes and then eat that before you train. I'm suggesting, again, a small meal, especially if you know you're someone who tends to have a hard time getting food down and feels a little bit nauseous when they're training. So good examples would be something like a protein shake and a banana, or a Greek yogurt and a little packet of instant oats. Protein is going to be very important for building, repairing, and growing muscle tissue, and that carbohydrate is going to be your body's main energy source. So again, just a small meal, and make sure you're waking up early enough to eat that meal before you train, or programming that meal around your training time. Again, I always suggest about 45 minutes prior to a workout. And then if you did want to go the route of a protein shake and a banana, something like that, speaking of protein shakes, one of my favorite protein powders that I'm currently using is by First Form. It's easy to digest and it tastes delicious. I actually drink it after I work out every single day. But again, it would be a great option to do beforehand as well. If you want high quality supplements that taste good and yield results, you have to check out First Form. This is a supplement company that I truly do believe in. First Form products are backed by research and created to improve your overall health and performance. What I love most about this brand, though, isn't the products, it's the team's philosophy. Developing an undeniable belief in self, cultivating courage, and adopting a no-quit and never-settle mentality, which you guys know I am all about. But of course, the products are bomb, too. Right now, I'm loving the vegan protein powder and flavor iced oatmeal cookie and the unflavored creatine to boost my performance in the gym and fight off muscle fatigue. Be sure to get these awesome products from First Form and purchase through my link, firstform.com/KinsleyMeeks, in my Instagram bio, at YoItsKinslow, that's YoItsKinslow, to support me and better your overall health and wellness. Now, let's get back to the pod. Hopefully that answers your question, love. I definitely suggest, as I do for all of my ladies out there, you want to eat before you train. Do not train in a fasted state unless you absolutely have to. You want your workouts to be productive. You want your workouts to be intense. And of course, just like you said, if you're not consuming something before you train, you're going to feel more weak and more fatigued, which is not going to get you the best results possible. If you guys have a question that you want mentioned on the show, you know, you can always reach out to me again through Instagram, or I'll also link an option in the show notes for you guys to send in questions that way if you'd like. Thank you again for listening to the show and learning more about what fitness industry topics are simply just BS and you don't need to worry about. Be sure to tune into next week's episode and let me know what you'd like to listen to next. This podcast is such a fun outlet for me, and I hope that it really helps you. Wishing you guys blessings as always. Wishing you guys the best mental, the best physical health possible as always. And I will talk to you next week. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.